Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we can gather in your name, Lord, and that we can sing praises to you, and that we can love you, Lord, and you love us. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning as we open up your word and we look at the word love, I pray that you would open up our hearts, and I pray, Lord, that we would see love for what it is and what it is not. And Lord, I pray that love would change us. Love towards one another and love towards others, Lord, is something that is so desperately missing in this world, Lord. And I pray that you would just help us understand it better and it be done through your word, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles open, which I hope you brought a Bible. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. And chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. And we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7. I heard a story about an actor who was playing the part of Jesus in a passion play in the Ozarks. Did you hear about this? As he carried the cross up the hill during the play, a tourist began to heckle him and making fun of him and was shouting insults at him. Finally, the actor couldn't take it any longer, and he threw down the cross and he walked over to the tourist and punched him in the face. After the play was over, the director said, "I know he was bad, but I can't condone what you did. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus." And Jesus never retaliated like that. "Don't you do anything like that again." Well, the man promised he wouldn't. But the next day, the heckler was back again. And he was heckling him again. And the actor exploded and punched him out again. And the director said, "That's it. I'm going to have to fire you. We can't have Jesus behaving like this." And the actor begged. He said, "Please just give me one more chance. I really need the job, and I can handle myself better if it ever happens again." So the director decided to give him another chance. The next day, he was carrying the cross up the street, and sure enough, there was the heckler. And you could tell that the man was trying to control himself, but the heckler was getting the best of him. He clenched his fist and he gritted his teeth, and finally he looked at the heckler and he said, "I'll meet you after the resurrection." This morning we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about what love is and what love isn't in 1 Corinthians. Last week, we looked at the first three verses of chapter 13, the love chapter. It's interesting where the love chapter is presented. It's in a letter of a church that is having a lot of difficulty with personalities. They're all doing their own thing. They're all off running and they're abusing and gifts, and they're taking their freedom that they have in Christ and they're just doing what they want with it. And Paul's trying to bring the church back together and get them focused up on Christ and living right. And in the middle of explaining doctrine, if we look at chapters 12 and then 14, he's explaining doctrine, how to use the spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts for? How are they to bring the church together? And how is the church to use the gifts to reach people for Christ? And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of this doctrinal discussion, he puts in this chapter about love. And I think what happens is that when we start using things wrongly, we lose sight of love. And I think that's what Paul is the point that he's trying to make. The gifts are here to build up the body and to strengthen it, to unite the body into one primary goal, and that's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. To grow the body. The gifts are to grow the body and to help us love one another and build each other up so that the world will know us by our love. The Latin writer Tertullian of Carthage declared that the one thing that converted him to Christianity is not the arguments they gave, because he could find a counterpoint to every argument that was ever presented to him, but that demonstrated the thing that I didn't have, he said. The thing that converted me to Christianity was the way that they loved one another. When it comes to ministry and living our lives in the church and our lives outside the church, what does love have to do with it? And this is the discussion that we had last week. It has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it. If you do anything in the church, in this church, or any other church, or anything else, if you don't do it from a sacrificial heart, out of sacrificial love, you're missing the entire point of service. Christ came to serve, and he is our model. Paul says, imitate Christ as I imitate. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're to imitate Christ. And here's what Christ did. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for the many. Jesus came sacrificially. Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy laid before him and endured the cross and despised the shame and then sat down at the right hand of God's throne. Hebrews 12:2. But God proved his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. I don't know about you, but I like to have things presented to me. I like to see things. I like to understand. And that's exactly what Paul does. He gives us a picture of what love is and what love is not. And so if you have your Bibles, let's start reading 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, does not keep record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I think it's interesting that Paul starts by saying what love is and what love is not. And did you notice that there was two things that love is and eight things that love is not? You know what that tells me? I think we get a lot of things wrong when it comes to love. What is love then? What is love? Love is patience when facing difficulties. Now, this is not just patience while sitting in traffic, while it's all merging and you're being nice and patient and letting the other cars in. This is not waiting in the checkout line and the nice lady in front of you has whipped out a checkbook. This is much more than just being kindly and patient with somebody. This is the complete opposite of being short-tempered. This is waiting for something that is promised. This is enduring suffering. It is born out of suffering in this life, and it's holding on to the promise of the next life. This is not wimpy patience that you have with a stubborn 2-year-old. But it is tough patience that is strengthened by the Holy Spirit who is enabling you. It comes from a close relationship with Christ, who displayed great patience all the way to the cross. Which brings us to kindness. Kindness. The word here translated for kind is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. In fact, some scholars think that Paul may have coined this word himself to make it fit in this verse. Leon Morris suggested that this word may have like a dual meaning. It's kind of a love that is a kindness that is shown to another person who has wronged you. So think of someone who wrongs you and does something terrible to you, and you show kindness back to them instead of retaliating. It is also the kind of kindness that gives to others before you give to yourself. This kind of kindness is born out of a new heart. I can't see this being something that we could just do on our own, but I see this as us being changed, a new creation in Christ, that our old heart has been replaced with a new heart, and we live differently. We love in kindness. We can respond in ways that the rest of the world cannot. How many stories have you heard over and over again about a young man killed in a drunken accident? Drunk driver accident where the family takes him in. I remember that story coming out of Tennessee. The driver of the vehicle that killed their son, they took him in to their own home and showed him kindness and took care of him. We hear these kind of stories in Christian circles where people do something that is just impossible, but they show love and kindness back to somebody who doesn't deserve it. And this is the kind of love, the kind love that Paul is talking about. Having looked at what love is, it's patient and kind. What love is not? What is love not or does not? Paul uses two words, and I think you have to keep this connection in your mind always. He uses two words, patient and kindness. And as we go through this list, keep those two words in your mind. Because everything that we encounter from here on is the complete opposite of kindness and patience. Love does not envy, is not boastful. Envy here is not a jealous, it's not jealous of success of others. Love wants others to succeed for the sake of Christ and for the building up of the body. So when we see someone in the church that is successful in something, we want that to happen. We encourage that. We want to see that. But the other side of this is when we do experience success in the church, we don't want to take and become prideful. We want to give other people credit, and we want to give God the glory. We want to include others in our success, because it's not about us, but it's about Christ. It is not conceited. And the word here in Greek is very interesting because it means to be inflated with pride. And we know in this letter that Paul's used this language several times. It's when you are successful, don't be a windbag about it. Another word that's associated with success. We shouldn't envy someone who is getting the attention by doing something well. And at the same time, when we experience success, we are not to boast about what we did and inflate ourselves, to puff ourselves up. But we're to think of others. And if we puff ourselves up, if we allow that to happen, that's not love. And as you know, if you get puffy, God has a way of coming along and just popping your little balloon anyways. So save yourself. I know from experience. Love doesn't act improperly or is rude. Love is not dishonorable, indecent, or disgraceful. Love is kindness and patience towards others. You're not going to be rude to somebody if you're patient and kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not insist on getting its own way. Think about that one for a moment. Love is not self-seeking. Love does not insist on getting its own way all the time. It is not demanding. This type of behavior is just the opposite of patience and kindness. Look at these descriptions, how they're all stuck together. Think about all the words that we've just gone through. And you can almost see like a chain, like Legos being pieced together. Envious, boastful, conceited, rude, selfish, and angry, all because they didn't get their own way. We can see how it all works together and how patience and kindness is just the opposite. Love is not, you ready for this? Irritable or provoked. Now, I've been on both sides of this fence. I've been the irritable one, and I've lived with irritable people, and I've been around them. And all of you, have you ever been irritable? Never, Charlotte. There you go. Have you ever been around somebody, though, that you had to watch every word you said around them because you knew it would come back to you? That's terrible. I have a family member that's like that. For years, you couldn't say nothing. You didn't know what was going to happen. You might get a letter in the mail or something. It's terrible. And this is before coffee sometimes. You can't be that way before coffee. I know a lot of grumpy people, a lot of irritable people. And I have to tell you where I've met most of them. Church. That should not have any place in a church. Oh yeah, I've met some irritable and grumpy people in church. Not so much in this one. There's been some times, though, you come across Pastor Neely at the wrong time, you might. You know, I'll share Pastor Neely's story since he's not here. Can't defend himself. And I missed hearing his voice on Standing in the Promises. You know, he doesn't hit every word, but you can hear him on certain songs in certain places, all the way in the back. There was one time Pastor Neely, maybe I've told this story, but when I first got here, I wanted to change his picture on the website. And that I took a picture of him smiling with no tie on. And I posted it online. And man, when he saw that picture, he did not like it at all. Right? And so he calls me into his office and he says, "You know that picture? You need to take it down right now. I don't like it." And I looked at him and I said, "Nope, I'm not taking it down." And that fired him up really good. And he says, "I have an appointment right now, and I'm going to leave. And when I come back, we're going to talk about this more." And I said, "Okay." And so he left, and he came back, and he's all humble, and he's all quiet. And he says, "You got a minute?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You know, I went to a doctor's appointment, and I was sitting in the lobby, and it was full of people." And he said, "I was so mad about what we talked about. I was frustrated." He said, "I asked everybody in that room," and you can picture him doing this, "should I wear a tie or not wear a tie in a picture on the website?" And he says, "You know what they said? Every person I asked said no tie." And he says, "I just want to apologize." That's Pastor Neely. I love that story. I shouldn't have confronted him like I did. I mean, but that was 7 years ago, but I wouldn't do it now like that, but it showed his heart, though, that he was willing to listen. Took a little bit, but he got there. And now I don't know where I'm at. About being grumpy. We're not to be grumpy. We're not to be irritable. That's not the spirit of love. And here's another big one that we all struggle with. Love does not keep record of wrongs. It doesn't remember every time you messed up. I used to have a supervisor, and I can remember this guy still to this day. You're talking like 20 years ago. He had a little black book, and every time you messed up, he would write in it. And everybody wanted to take that book and just burn it. But I remember that feeling of watching him see you mess up and writing in that book. How about a relationship that you're in? Have you ever been in a relationship or with somebody that just throws all your faults in your face every opportunity they get? They never forget anything you've ever done. Love does not remember wrongs, but is patient and kind. This also means that we don't go around and noting other people's sins, even people who are not Christians. You don't track people's wrongs and hold it against them for later. Love doesn't do that. Now, I know some of you are saying that's impossible, especially in the culture that we live in. And remember, we have to keep our eyes on Christ. And remember what Christ did for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. And if you don't know where this is a good time to mark this in your Bibles. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Colossians 2, it's a little letter in there. Verses 13 and 14. And here's what it says. It says, "And when you were dead in your trespasses," that's a pretty bad scene right there. You're dead in your trespasses. "In the circumcision of your flesh, you were made alive with him and forgave us of all our trespasses." And here's the point. "He erased the certificate of death with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross." If you haven't underlined that by now, you should. The reason we don't keep wrongs of records is because Jesus does not keep records of our sins. He forgave us and erased our certificate of debt. And that word used for erase is a military term. And maybe you've never heard of it before. But it means to completely destroy something. It's to come into the city and raise it, to take it and burn it down, leave no trace of it whatsoever. And that's what God did through Christ for our sin. He erased it forever. There's no record of it. You will not find it anywhere. We don't keep records of wrong because Jesus doesn't keep records on us. We forgive because Jesus forgave. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness. And here's what he's pointing to. We don't look for the failures of others. We don't go look for failures of others and then take pleasure in them. Our culture loves this. We see it everywhere. Pick up a newspaper, social media, blog site. It is saturated with the celebration of failures of others. And we have different tribes that try to get the other side to look like a failure. And we celebrate and revel in this. That is not love. It is not love. It doesn't matter what others have done. Love does not celebrate the fall of our enemies. It does not celebrate when we see someone get what they deserved. And what we're talking about is other people. Other people. Love is patient and kind, even towards people who don't deserve it. Why? Because Jesus was patient and kind with us, even when we didn't deserve it. He did not celebrate when we failed. He died for us so that we might escape our failures and rejoice in the freedom through him. And that's what we're to do with others in love. Love rejoices in truth. Love does not rejoice in lies. Love is not indifferent when it comes to sin, wrong, or doing something wrong, but overcomes it with truth, the truth of Christ. We rejoice in truth because truth is the heart of Christianity. Jesus said himself in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Ephesians 4:21 says, "You heard about him, and we were taught by him, because the truth is in Jesus." We rejoice in the truth of God and in the truth of the gospel. That's what we do as Christians. In verse 7, Paul turns the conversation, and he turns it back to positive things about love. Bears all things. Love bears all things. It covers and protects those around us. This word is not about endurance, but is it about not dragging people's faults out in front of everyone for the world to see? That's what he's talking about. We're not to humiliate others. When it says, bears all things, that is to take care of those around us and not allow them to be humiliated. We're out to protect their dignity and not allow things to happen to them. It's enduring and bearing what is happening to them or what they have done. Again, it comes back to patience and kindness. Bears all things. Hope, love hopes for the best in others. It bears all and it hopes all things. It believes all things. Love hopes for the best in others. It desires to believe in the goodness of others. It is not gullible, but it is truly believes in Christ. It retains its faith and is always ready to give the benefit of the doubt. It holds out for the very best outcome. That's what it means to believe all things. It's to believe that eventually it's going to work out for good. It doesn't lose hope because it hopes in all things. It looks forward. This is not unreasoning optimism, which doesn't take into account the reality of us, but it is the refusal to believe that it's a failure, that it's going to be final. It is being confident in God's grace will ultimately triumph no matter what the circumstances I'm faced with. Have you ever been faced with something that just looks like there's no hope for it whatsoever? The love of Christ in us gives us hope during those times that we know that no matter what we face in this world, in the very end, God triumphs. Love is not overwhelmed. It endures all things. Like a soldier in battle, he does not give up. He endures no matter how bleak it looks all around him. He keeps moving forward, believing and striving in faith. This is love. This is the same picture of Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy laid before him endured the cross. He did not give up. He did not give up. And with Christ beside us and the Holy Spirit in us, we can endure all things in love. So that is what love is and what love is not. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, and endures all things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love that you have shown us, Lord. I thank you for your word that shows us what love is and what love is not. And so, Lord, we are presented with this morning. And how will we live our lives? And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be kind and to be patient. Kind and patient with those around us. Kind and patient to our family members. Kind and patient to those people who deserve something more, but it's not ours to give. To be love and patient with those who are unlovable. To be kind and patient with those who have done us wrong. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, because this is something that is just seems so impossible in this world that we live in. And I pray now, Lord, that your love would change our hearts. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anybody in this room that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who gives us a new heart, who makes us a new creature. The old ways have gone and new have come. That is done through Christ, by putting our faith in Christ. And I pray now, Lord, if there's anybody here that's never put their faith in Christ and Christ alone, I pray they would do that this morning. And again, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. We praise you for the love that you displayed to us through your Son. We thank you for your Son who showed us love and continues to show us love. And Lord, help us to be more like him. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.